Here in America, work is in trouble. We've offshored our manufacturing, sent away good jobs, and lost so much ability to make things. American Giant is pushing back against that tide. They make high-quality clothing for a summer wardrobe you'll love, all made right here in the USA. Support America's workers and get 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code STAPLE20.
Football on Off the Ball.
It could probably be France in the semi-final, and it will just all come down to that. The entire judgment on Southgate and England will come down to that, and if England can beat France.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join. OTB GAA. The Football Pod on Off the Ball.
In partnership with AIB.
Proud sponsors of the GAA Senior Football Championship.
Check out hashtag the toughest for more.
Hello there, and you're very welcome along to the latest episode of the Football Pod. It's Monday evening. Paddy Andrews and James O'Donoghue are with me. We've just had the quarterfinal draw for the All-Ireland. This weekend, it's so quick, it's all happening so quick. This weekend, on Saturday, we've got Armagh against Roscommon. We've got Dublin against Galway that evening. And then on Sunday, we've got Donegal up against Louth. And Kerry against Derry. Coming in, boys. That's the one.
Some good stuff right there.
Kerry Derry's the one, isn't it? That's the main game of the weekend.
Great semi last year.
That's the heavyweight clash.
They're all tasty.
Double Galway is a badge. Double Galway.
Dublin Galway is a good game as well. To be fair,
Kerry Derry.
They'll all be close, but
Kerry and Derry. I think it's a spectacular game. Now that Derry have shown a little bit about themselves again. It's not a great draw. They could only get Kerry or Dublin, so they knew they were going to be up against it. Particularly how the game finished the other night, to go 90 minutes. That was an intense game, boys. Jesus Christ. Mm. But, like, Kerry, nobody wanted to draw Derry either. So it's... Derry back it up. I'd still have Kerry as favourites for that one, but I do. I think it's a brilliant game. It was a brilliant semi-final last year between these two teams. So looking forward to it. We'll be there. We'll be there on Sunday.
Yeah, we'll be there on Sunday for Off the Ball.
But the only thing with the scheduling, say, it's not even the physical exertion or the tiredness in your body. It's actually your mind, you know, from week on week on week, just you're drained. And I think it's hard for teams to come through the preliminaries and win a quarterfinal and all, like, you know, because they've played a couple of games in a row. They've gotten up for them. They've had to win them. And now they have to kind of celebrate that win and go again so quickly. It's just tough. And it's tough mentally to reach that level of desire so quickly again, rather than physically.
Paddy, you were there Saturday evening. What was the feeling around Derry coming off the field? Was it relief that they?
There was elation. I spoke to a couple of the Derry players afterwards. How the game went. It was a good first half from them. Mayo kind of allowed them to build into the game, but you could literally, Mayo came out of the box second half, and were a better team in the second half. They brought that mad Mayo energy, the crowd got involved, and it was a very flat first half, and Derry were under pressure. But what we've seen from Derry for the first time in 10 weeks throughout this whole championship, there was resilience by them. There was a realisation from them, and a few of the players said that this was it, you know, and this is maybe the flaw of the championship, that you could lose a couple of games, that edge wasn't really there. And we spoke to a couple of Louth players yesterday as well who said the same thing, that when it's knockout, it just feels different to play. We all know, we can look at it, it looks different when we're watching it. It's more intense games, but the players get that as well. So Derry had that edge, but you could just see as the game went on, and particularly in extra time after the equalising point from Chrissy McKay, you could see the confidence just back in the Derry players. Unbelievable. Just all these players started playing again. Yeah. Where it's like they've just been in hibernation for 2 months. McGuigan gets an unbelievable score in extra time, wins a kick out, gets on the end of it, kicks it over. Like, we have not seen anything like that in 2.5 months. Glass makes all the big plays. Rodgers gets up, kicking scores. Ethan Doherty. It was the Derry team, in extra time in particular, we seen 3 months ago. That's the positive thing for them. And there was elation. What a way to win a game. Winning on penalties. We know they won the league final penalties as well. So there was some buzz around them and their supporters. But I agree with Jimmy. The challenge there is physically, they probably managed. 90-minute game, the intensity of playing against Mayo. But it's like the mental preparation to get through for Kerry now. Like, the mental preparation for Mayo and Castlebar was massive. One of the top teams, the tactical analysis of that, they're straight into Kerry now. It's an even bigger game. And that's maybe the flaw in the structure that these teams have to go week on week on week. Maybe you could say on the other side, going, you fucking put yourselves in that position in the first place. You should have an advantage for winning your group, and you definitely do with this structure. But it was, I have to say, I was happy to see it. I was happy to see these players because I like the players. I think they've shown serious quality over the last 2 or 3 years. And you never like seeing a team just absolutely fall off a cliff. So they showed that they deserved the win in the end. I thought, like I say, the extra time performance was exceptional, but it's a massive ask. Despite the buzz they'll get out of that win, they now go and beat Kerry on Sunday. That is, it's a tough position Derry are in.
I can see them having a brilliant start in Croke Park on Sunday evening. And the feeling in the ground changing very, very quickly. And that was a question I wanted to get to. It felt like Castlebar became edgy very, very quickly at the weekend when...
Mayo only scored a point from playing the first half. It was bad for Mayo in the first half.
When they really pushed up and when they played their style and their game in the second half and they chased it, they were exceptional. But then they...
Savage atmosphere then. There was.
They nearly go 30 minutes then without another score. Do you know, before extra time. It's... Yeah. Look, I want to get through the results and we'll come back then to what Derry and Kerry might look like. We'll be talking about the other semi-finals, quarter-finals that all look great as well. I'm going to mention the Tailteann Cup games at the weekend where I think some of the best quality football on show was there. The Sligo Down game was something else.
Second game, more so.
Yeah, it was absolutely exceptional. I'm actually in Croke Park at the minute, lads. I'm getting to fulfil a childhood dream in a little while. I'm playing in a Croke Park staff versus GA Media charity match. Can't wait for it. Going to kick.
First time in Croker.
First time playing in Croker, yeah. So,
no school stuff for anything coming to months ago now?
No, none of that, actually. There was actually, when I came out here earlier on, there was a Go Games Osgoelga taking place. Jamie O'Tuha, who has, O'Tuha, who's organised the media game later on, was also organising this, where they brought 400 kids from Gaeltacht clubs around the country, and they were up playing today. So it was a real buzz around Croke Park when I landed in here earlier on. And he actually, himself and Niamh Boyle in the GA, sorted out this room for us to record today. So looking forward to playing that game later on. I think there's a few of us playing. Marty Morrissey's playing. Joanne Cantwell's playing. So,
yeah. What?
Marty? Marty's playing, yeah. So it's...
Midfield.
Marty was in gold. Marty played in gold growing up.
Hanging kickouts. He's like the club's very good.
Pre-clubs.
Can't get a steal on Marty's kickouts.
I'll report back on Wednesday. And,
charity game.
Yeah, you should have.
Full analysis treatment of this match.
Friends and family were allowed in, so Chief was actually coming in to watch it, so I'm sure she'll feed back, and we'll have a chat about it on our members pod on Wednesday briefly. But it's raising money for four different charities.
Just get your bearings in the warm up there.
I'll be kicking a point.
Swirling wind there around the hill as well.
I won't be going home until I kick a point into either goal, Paddy, just to say that I've done it.
You won't get a sniff of fucking Joanne Cantwell's marking anyway.
No, I'm playing with Joanne.
Oh, you're with Joanne, sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
Keep the elbows down.
Yeah. Oh, no, I will. Yeah, absolutely. I'll be...
You're playing Croke Park staff, so Peter McKenna will be midfield.
The word is, this game hasn't taken place in a couple of years, the word is that they draft in a couple of county players every year. Just to put the media in their place. So I'm looking forward to seeing what the challenge is going to be later on. I'll fill you in on Wednesday how this all goes, but it is raising money for four different charities this evening. The Alzheimer's Society of Ireland, Hughes House, the Rahuma Charity, and the Mater Hospital Foundation. So I know you boys sent it on to me there, so I appreciate it. And I stung a few other friends as well from Cratlow and a couple of family members. So going to give that donation later on.
You should not pass the ball at once.
Pull the trigger.
You should just...
If I kick a point,
just shoot on sight.
Okay, before we get, this is actually really serious, right? Before we get to the football, I got an email Sunday morning. I'm not going to give a surname because I'm not going to out him like that, but it came in from Barry. Hi, Tommy. Can you ask Paddy Andrews what jumper he was wearing on GA Go on Saturday night? I really want to buy it. Cheers. Love the pod. Thanks, Barry. Andrews.
Barry, can't give that. Only three of them were ever made.
You can't be gatekeeping, Paddy. Come on, what was it?
It was pennies.
No, only three of them I've ever made. Barack Obama has won, Roger Federer has won, and I got the third one. for 2 years ago.
I can't even picture it. Go on, tell us.
What was it? Barry from EastEnders.
No, Barry's serious here.
Barry Manilow.
Was it green? It was a green jumper, wasn't it?
Green.
You could
sky
be
blue.
It was.
It was going over to Castle expensive Bar, restaurant, a bit of Dublin colour here.
Yeah.
I did get a few messages about that jumper, I must say.
It was a nice jumper.
Yeah, it's top class.
Come on.
Not giving that in away, though. No. No way.
Can I email Barry back? Will you give it to me off air?
I'll give you off air, but look, he's going to have to talk to Anna Wintour, Vogue, these people, trying to get a 4-1.
I like the approach of him.
Give us the price range. Give us the price range. It was definitely in the 400 to 500 mark.
Four figures.
Whoa. He's not messing either.
I am messing with that.
I think
we've short podcast here. There was a million GAA matches this weekend, and you're giving Barry's airtime trying to get a free jumper.
Yeah, but listen, no. Opening the door to some clothing sponsorships in the pod, we could do a bit of that. Okay,
Louis Vuitton sponsors the pod.
Galway 14 points, Monaghan 11. Monaghan season is over. Galway go on to the All Ireland quarterfinals where they've been drawn against Dublin. That's the reward for not topping the group and coming through last weekend. We'll get to that in a little while. Tyrone 12 points, Roscommon 15. Let's just linger on this for a minute. The Rossies went up to Omagh and turned Tyrone over. Some of the shooting, lads, and we know the quality of the Roscommon forwards, but some of the shooting was off the charts from Donny Smith, Dermot Murtagh, Dara Craig. So on one hand, huge credit for that. And the performance from Roscommon was exceptional. They brought all the intensity that's needed. Criminal from Tyrone to allow some of those passes to play. It was like they didn't do their homework.
Yeah, because it was the four danger men were the ones who scored. You know, like Roscommon weren't chipping in points from everywhere on the field. It was their four danger men that got every score. And they got 13 points from play between them. You know, the four lads. Like, so they've been on fire, to be fair, for a good couple of weeks now. They're actually playing very well. But Tyrone just did not. Like, how can you come out of the trap so slowly at home? So they were 6-0 at half time. It was a huge ass to come back from that after half time. But at home, you think you come out of the traps way faster. Like we said last week that it would be a horrible result for Tyrone to lose at home.
It
really is a bad season for them now. You know, there's no way around it. They've had a bad season.
Yeah. 14 points to 12 is a 2 point. I said 15 points. 40 points to 12, and all 14 points coming from those four forwards that we mentioned. The Conor Carroll pass to Dara Craig late on when Tyrone kind of clawed it back. That was one of the points of the summer, I thought. Just how quickly he took the ball under pressure, he spun and curled it over the bar.
Yeah. He took it at pace. He cut, like, that's the hardest ball to win. When the ball is not coming straight at you, it's kind of coming at an angle. He took it at pace on the bounce. And just threw it over. That was a class score. And he looks like a super player. He's getting better and better. But that's the thing about the goalies. When the goalies come up, they have to do something
make
different.
A play.
You know, it's
make
like
a play. Make
some of them
happen.
Just come up and just hand pass. Yeah, make something happen. That's what Morgan is so good. He comes up and he does something. He chances something different. And that was just a great score because they would have been hand passing the ball around all day if they didn't get the ball in that time.
Paddy, what was your reading this game? I know you were in Castlebar keeping an eye on it.
Look, I was surprised. The fact that home advantage and Tyrone had finally got a bit of momentum behind them, felt that they'd have enough to win this game. Look, it's been a tough season for Tyrone. It's been a tough season for Roscommon as well. They were relegated in the National League. They didn't really fire a shot against Mayo in both of those games in the Connacht Championship and then in the group stage. And for maybe 35 to 40 minutes, they were decent against Dublin, but then they just completely ran out of steam as well. And the big worry I had was, we said it last week's show, they conceded 120 against Cavan. You know, I've seen Cavan 3 times this year. That is worrying for them. And he just thought Tyrone would have the quality to turn it around. There was no excuse in terms of teams under pressure with legs or anything like that. They were both in the same situation. They played the weekend before. It was the surprise of the weekend, I have to say. And that's the one thing that there's no ambiguity around Roscommon at all. And we always say this, they have quality up front. You have to stop that. You have to, outside of anything else, shut down those key guys. And that was the most, I'm sure Tyrone probably have spoken since, maybe they haven't, but they look back at that and go, like, Tyrone at their best, hard to play against, nasty, really structured in defence. And we just didn't see, we don't see it enough from Tyrone at all anymore. I know, and maybe you could say it's unfair to compare this Tyrone team to those great ones under Mickey Hart, but these were the All-Ireland champions 3 years ago. and was built on that intensity, that kind of difficult to play against. And I have to say, they haven't got near those heights since. There's the odd, and far too rare from Toronto's point of view, the odd glimpse of they might be onto something, but Saturday night again is just like, it's a surprise. But you, like, if Tyrone had won that, would you, even if they got through the Roscommon game, would you felt they'd go any further in the championship? They're in a tough spot. Brilliant for Davy Burke and Roscommon, and not a bad draw for them either to get Armagh. They'll come to Croke Park, which will suit them, suit their forwards. And we don't know, this is a big game in Croke Park where Armagh are favourites. Are they going to perform? So
Tommy, you're on mute there, boy.
You're on mute, T.
Sorry, boys. Same as last year where they faced Monaghan and we had that epic moment where Rian O'Neill scores that beauty. Rafferty celebrates with him and then they allow Monaghan to get that one last chance. McManus creates and earns and scores and then buries the two penalties in extra time. The segue then to bring us into Galway Monaghan. The first game on Saturday, you would have been following this one as well. There was a moment in this game where Barry McBennett, I'm not going to apologise for anything that I got incorrect, but I got a couple of things incorrect last week on the pod. I described Barry McBennett as young Barry McBennett. Barry McBennett is 29, as I've since found out.
Jesse Lingard.
So I feel like I should be handing in my notice for that one. And if I don't hand in my notice for that one, I got reminded by a number of Galway fans over the weekend about the incorrect information that I had on Damien Comer. I'd just like to say I'm absolutely thrilled to see Damien Comer back in the field. But the mood music I heard around it was that it was maybe a little worse than feared. But class to see him back.
This is your WhatsApp rumours, Tommy. This is another example of believing what you hear on WhatsApp.
I would never run with WhatsApp rumours. I've never done that. And it wasn't a WhatsApp rumour.
It was great to see Comer back, though.
It was massive. Huge.
They need him. And you know, Finnerty's an excellent player. But you know what Finnerty is missing? Right leg. Do you know if you're a left-footed player, right? It's so obvious you're left. Way more so than a right-footer. No one is ever shouting at you when you're young, saying, he's all right, he's all right. Do you know? They're shouting at the left-legged fellas, he's all there.
Arian Robben. Arian Robben.
But he has so much trickery and he can buy himself room so often, so easily. His movement is brilliant and his left-legged finishing is brilliant. But there's lots of times where he has shots on with the right leg and he has to turn them down. I don't know, is it maybe because of the injury he's carrying or possibly knocks and niggles? But if he developed that part of his game, honestly, it would take him up so many levels.
Yeah, I agree. It moves you into the upper echelon of forwards because he has the knack, he has the ability, he kind of takes responsibility as well. I think he's had a really good season, a breakout year. I think he's been forced to have a breakout year on the basis that Coleman Watts haven't been available for long, long chunks of the season. It'll be probably his biggest test against the Dubs on Saturday in Croke Park as well. But I agree, you know, he's an experienced player. I'm sure he knows this. As coaches have been saying this to him since he was 10 or 11 years of age, to try and work on both sides. And it might just be a confidence thing. We don't know. But if Rob Finnerty wants to move into the level of being spoken about like a Coma or a Shane Walsh, that's the next step. That's not going to be the case for him in 5 days' time.
He's been moving himself into that conversation, and his 4 points in the second half yesterday were absolutely huge, especially when, like, as I mentioned,
he's had a great season for Galway so far.
McBennett smashing the underside of the bar with
big moments.
Was there just over 15 minutes to go there? There was a 2-point game, and then
it was 10-8 at the time. That would have put Monaghan in front, and it was like there was the miss, but also there was a sense of deflation with Monaghan after as well. It felt like they never really got back. That was their last big moment in the game. Galway kind of, their experience put a strangle on it, and Galway did kind of get going. They're pretty poor in that first half themselves. But that moment, you feel, if Monaghan had something to hang on to going into the last quarter, got their noses in front, it could have been a very, very different conversation. It was brilliantly worked. He does everything right. Doesn't go in, you can hardly say he does everything right, but at the time, I thought someone might have got a nick on it, or Conor Gleeson might have saved it, but it's just an absolute rocket. A couple of inches lower, it could be a very different story. But after that, Monaghan just seemed to just run out of puff. That's tough situation. Galway, tough season for them. Tough season for Monaghan as well.
It has been. Galway look stronger in the middle, though, Paddy, don't they? Like, they got Tierney around there, McDade, Katie,
Big Johnny Heath,
Silk,
Armagh, sorry.
And Maher and Conroy, I thought, were absolutely outstanding. They were. Like, ran the game. Maher, I thought his hands and everything were brilliant. He got it. He did everything right. Every right decision he made.
He's unreal, isn't
he? And Conroy. Yeah, and Conroy finished off some lovely moves as well. He's a serious kicker.
Different types of players. Conroy's got all the silk and the skill, and Maher is just...
He has a bit of it, Maher, as well, though, doesn't he? Like, he
affects the game.
The hips.
Big impact on the game when he's there. You can see Joyce obviously likes him as well. Put him in there. And you said it, Jimmy. Particularly Gleeson probably prefers the longer kickouts. Don't mention the Armagh game, obviously, where they get caught short. But if you're thinking at the weekend in Croke Park as well, and you put across the middle, Maher, Killian McDade, Conroy, Tierney, Johnny Heaney coming off the bench. Like, they are big, big men. And it is a platform for Galway, which I feel they probably don't use enough. But just on Paul Conroy gets man of the match again. He is having as good a season as he's ever had. At 34 years of age, lots of miles on the clocks, lots of bad injuries as well. But he's in sensational form. And I know we're talking about Derry and Kerry being game of the weekend, but that Galway game, if the boys are injury free, and there's a question mark over Shane Walsh, the latest guy to go off injured in that first quarter, if Galway are at full tilt, that could be a spectacular game. But odds are they probably won't be, looking at the injury profile of the key guys.
We've been talking about
Shane Walsh.
Galway's
has to tug, won't he? Like,
I think you have to. This is it. Like,
yeah, because it could be. It's such a tough draw that they have to put everything out there. And maybe not start because he could blow up after 10 minutes. But have him on the bench. That if it's tight and they need someone to pull the trigger at the end of the game, have a shot, take on or work something, bit of magic. They need Shane Walsh on the panel. It's so disappointing for them that they don't have everyone fit because they'd be so dangerous. I think the dynamic there, Finnerty, Comer and Walsh, they all offer something completely different and they're all top quality.
The other thing to me as well, we don't know what it took for Comer to get onto the pitch on Saturday.
Yeah.
How did he look, Paddy?
There's no doubt 100. Galway would not have planned on using Comer on Saturday. They would have hoped not to have needed that, but the way the game went, particularly with Walsh's injury and then how tight the game had become, they had to play him. And what it took for Comer to get onto the pitch. He's not 100%. To go into their biggest game of the season, knockout against the champions at Croke Park, with question marks over their two best players, along with Conroy, their two best players. That's not ideal, because I agree with Jimmy. We said it numerous times over the last 4 or 5 weeks. Galway at full tilt I think they're the best of the rest outside of Dublin and Kerry. So, it'd be interesting to see what they do, but I get a sense. If you, Jimmy, you put yourself in their shoes. If you were Walsh or Comer, get me on the pitch. Do whatever it takes. Get me on the pitch on Saturday, by hook or by crook. Not ideal, but I think that'll be the attitude of the players in Galway.
I don't think the Kelly looked... Sean Kelly didn't look 100% comfortable at times either. Like, they're big, big players, carrying knocks, but they're showing unbelievable leadership to actually be getting onto the field and contributing something. If I was Joyce and Keane O'Neill, I'd probably hold the lads for as long as I could and make sure they're on the field at the end of the game. Do you know, if it was me, I'd make it a dogfight first half, keep it tight, don't let the game get away from you, and then bring on your Cormor and your Walsh if you had the luxury of. Because if you start them, you have to take them off. It's such a dump. Yeah.
It's going to be so hard to know, because after the game, Joyce said it was an ankle injury for Walsh. The papers, some of them are reporting it's a thigh injury. It looked like
it was the biggest hamstring injury ever.
It was a hammer. It looked like a hammer. Like, yeah, but that's the thing. It's so hard to know.
Straight away when he said that.
Joycey.
But this is the game within the game. It's the game within the game. Just look, we've been talking about Galway injuries.
An ankle now, but
we've been talking about Galway injuries.
I'm not calling anyone a liar here, T. I'm not calling anyone a liar.
That's okay. We've been talking about injuries, Galway injuries all year long, right? But Dublin, am I right in saying, and again, we don't know, but they're obviously going into this game with a 1, 2, probably 3 players who started the All-Ireland Final for them last year in their defence, in David Byrne, Lee Gannon, and is James McCarthy going to be fit to start? I know he played midfield that day, but you know, he's somebody that would play either midfield or in that half back line. Like, they're
Dublin in the same bracket. If players are semi available, they'll want to get out on the pitch. David Byrne's obviously gone. Lee Gannon, we haven't seen any sign of Lee Gannon since that injury.
And McCarthy's
in the National League, so it looks like that. We knew at the time it looked like a very long term one, and he is a big loss. He is, like, we spoke about Dublin's defence not being as mean as it had been in previous years, but as big a test as Mayo was over in the Hyde a couple of weeks ago, this is it now. Mm-hmm. For every team. So you get the sense of all eight teams going to Croke Park this weekend. The players that are 50-50, the players are going to be, I'm good to go. Let's get me out on the pitch. And knowing James McCarthy like I do, I feel he would be in that bracket as well if he's fit to play in any way, shape or form.
Do you think he's able to start?
I don't know. We don't know what level these guys are at. The fact that he's at least been togged out and been involved in match day squads would suggest that he's available to play. So that's the call. Does Desi put him in? You think matchups there with Galway, you've got to look at Paul Conroy. Dublin are going to have a plan for him. You need to respect the opposition. He's been absolutely critical for Galway all through the season. So there has to be a plan for him. Is that James McCarthy? Does James McCarthy play in the defence if other guys are missing? We don't know. I think we'll find out a lot more about Dublin as much as any other teams on Saturday night as well.
Yeah, for sure. Let's just get to the Loud Cork game here, because let's call it a spade a spade. This wasn't a great game of football. It was two teams who have a lot of quality across the field, probably matched up quite well. They faced each other a lot in the last couple of years, but they were consumed by fear, it felt, for a lot of it. They waited and they waited and they waited, and then finally a game of football broke out in the last couple of minutes. Actually, it was just tense, really, like. And actually, the final play of the game where Cork kept the ball for a spell, and then Christopher Kelly gave a poor hand pass, kind of punched a pure hand pass. They got turned over, free down the far end, and Sam Mulroy does what he does, went through his process and nailed it. Loud.
And it's actually, taking Mulroy, free, lads.
Mulroy forces the turnover too, then the far end and Rory Maguire. Like, it was a real... leadership.
What about
moment.
That free? What about that play?
Like, are you not coached?
Soft free. Very soft free.
Soft.
Very soft free. Clever attacking play.
Yeah.
He took it into contact, got the contact, and bought the free. Like, he did. He knew what he was doing, but I thought he was very unlucky to give away free. In that instant, to lose the game on
the
that.
Context of the game, yeah. It's like the championship is on the line. The ref gives it, and it's like, I actually think Lennon, who was man of the match, he had a brilliant game for Loud. When they get the turnover first inside their own half, it's absolutely on. You think this is a slam dunk score. And he nearly runs away from his teammates towards the sideline. You're like, and brings it into contact where Loud had the numbers. They were all breaking a pace. It was like, he didn't need to do that. And when I seen him turn that way and the core players come around, and Matty Taylor was actually coming behind them to kind of trap him, I thought the chance was gone. And particularly when the contact came in, like, Matty Taylor's coming back quickly, as you expect. Put it this way, if you're Cork, you are very disappointed that free kick. And I agree, people say, oh, the rules are the rules at any time in the game. We know referees maybe are a little bit more lenient at the start of the games, definitely at the end of the games. I felt the context that this was basically going to win the game for Loud, I thought it was a little bit harsh, I have to say.
Yeah. But Cork were playing with fire, Tom, just before you jump in there. Like, they were hand passing the ball around, trying to play the clock.
That was the whole game they were doing that, Jimmy. That was their whole game.
It was poor, James. They were slow. Colin McCallaghan, super points really from play.
But I mean, I know, but they didn't feel like comfortable in their attack. It was like, this is gonna break down somewhere at some stage, and Loud are gonna catch them on the counterattack. That's exactly what happened. They didn't look like they knew what they were going to do. They had no plan. It was just a case of, we'll hold the ball here and almost play it safe. And there, that's when you're at your most vulnerable.
Yeah, both teams were the same in that regard. When Cork actually moved it fast, they got their scores. Like, Brian Hurley starts this game and takes his first shot in the 51st minute. He scores it. He has one other shot in the game. Sherlock, very few efforts on goal. Chris Oak-Jones comes into it very late on. Owen McSweeney, Powder comes on late, plays a beautiful pass to Owen McSweeney and puts him through on goal. McSweeney probably needs to take a touch and slip it to Chris O'Jones to have a tap in, but he hits it straight at Niall McDonald. Chris O'Jones scores the rebound, 1-point game. McDonald then screws up his kick out into Chris Oak Jones. He's got Sean Powder ahead of him. Sean Powder and Chris Oak Jones and a keeper. He could slip at the Powder, or else he could bring it in and bury it. But he fists it over the bar.
I've used it. I know you hate them, Jimmy. And I must say, we were right behind that play, even in that situation. And I'm an advocate of the hand pass point. That has to be a goal. And a game like that as well.
Corner forward.
It's not coming out of the total angle. If you don't fancy it yourself, slip at the Powder. That's the game. That's how tight it was. Scores were hard to come by. Not because of any defensive genius, just because the quality of the attack on both sides was really poor. Like, Loud won't care. It's an incredible win for them, and it was actually brilliant to be there and see the reaction of the Loud supporters after. It's massive for them. First time ever in an All Ireland quarter final. And not a bad draw to play Donegal, but quality wise across that 75 minutes from both sides was, considering this was to get the final 12 teams in the country, it was really bad. Yeah. Really, really bad. And Cork had the opportunities. Second half, Loud were really poor in the first half. Jared Brennan spoke about it after. Maybe it was nerves, potentially. But they didn't take any risk in their play. It was kind of slow. Cork were adopting that approach as well. The one time they have a bit of go forward, Rory Dean to Maguire, and Daniel Omani all the way up from full back gets a
brilliant flick.
Unbelievable goal. But it was that kind of purpose in attack. We're going to run at pace and get ahead of the ball, which is so rare. We've seen it from Cork. Loud come out of the traps pretty good at the start of the second half, but then just retreat again. And Cork, the reality, they had multiple opportunities to kick scores to win that game, and they weren't good enough to take it. Their performance against Tyrone last week and in the Kerry game, the Munster Championship, they had no forward shape at all. They didn't create the opportunities. They actually did yesterday because Loud allowed them to do that, but they didn't have the quality to do it. And Chris O'Jones, that's one example of it. But that they bad misses across that second half. And when you lose a game by a point, you can look back to moments. But I thought over the course of that second half, Cork were not good enough to win that game. That's the harsh reality of their attack.
I think it's the one stat, isn't it, Paddy, that like you just can't get it wrong. Your conversion. Like if your conversion is off, you could be brilliant at everything else. Doesn't matter a shite if you're kicking the ball wide at the end.
At this stage of the championship, yeah.
Yeah, you have to have quality up there. You have to get into over 70% conversion. And the top teams, we've seen Dublin hit into the 80s regularly. But like, if you want to be winning big games this stage of the year, you have to be over 70% conversion. Because it's such a downer when you miss as well. If you don't create that many chances, and then when you do get into the position, you kick it wide, it's a downer for the whole team.
You could see, like, Inishkeen is a... I thought it was a great venue.
Because the atmosphere was brilliant.
It was like a club game. Come arriving in before, and it was just this is a separate point about playing maybe smaller crowds in venues like that where the atmosphere is savage. Classic. But it was like being at a club championship match, and you could see we're at pitch side, and you just see the Cork players. Unbelievable. Those wides were stacking up, missed opportunities the second half. You could actually see their energy. You could just see it was like, oh, fucking hell. We had to try them because it was so hard. They didn't have the quality to work many opportunities, and it was taking a lot of effort to do that. And then they miss, they kick away. That's why the Chris O. Jones thing, a goal would have been massive there. They would have won the game. If they had a goal at that point, they'd win the game. And like I said, they'll have regrets over it. Their attack, the shape, and then the quality up front has been questionable at times throughout the championship. They've made progress from a low base, but that will be a very disappointing result for Cleary and those Cork players to come back from, but they can't have any complaints. They weren't good enough.
Do you know the hand pass over the bar for Chris O'Jones one? I think they've talked about it. My gut feeling is they've spoken about it in the dressing room at some stage or in training, that lads, we're missing. Every point is key. Every point is crucial. Don't waste any chances going for goals if they're not on. Take your point, safety.
That was so on. There's no way it wasn't on.
But like, there's no way that Chris O'Jones turns down that goal chance off his own back. Do you know what I mean? Like, corner forward, you've got to be greedy at times there to just bury it. So it's obviously, I think it's been discussed, and it's like an instruction coming in from the sideline. Take your point, next play. Just don't miss any of those chances. I can't see a corner forward actually making that decision.
They missed a couple of goal chances already, and I don't know. Yeah, maybe that's like he's going to be a talisman for that Cork attack for the years to come. Maybe that ruthless streak arrives after something like that. You know, maybe
that's what they have to hope for as a team.
Yeah. So huge for Loud, and we're going to be talking in depth about Loud on Wednesday's pod. I want to hear, Paddy, what you made of Dermot Campbell. That was a great interview afterwards in GAA Go. Had some really interesting stuff to say about Ger Brennan. So we're going to really build up to that Donegal Loud game at the weekend. I'm going to take a quick break. We're coming back talking Mayo Derry. But before we do that, the Tailteann Cup semi-final at the weekend. So Laois played Antrim in the early game, and Brian Byrne scored two brilliant goals from centre-back. We had that brilliant Kevin Swain diving punch into the goals. Mossy Quinn on off the ball described it as Robin Van Persie-esque before I could do it.
The World Cup.
On Sunday,
World Cup.
Yeah. I was about to ask him about it. I was about to say, what did it remind you of? And he said it beforehand. So it was a brilliant diving finish with the shot dropping short. And yeah, Laois, who shipped 8 goals to Down last year, are back in Croke Park in the Tailteann final. And they're facing that same opposition again. So Conor Lavery's charges coming through extra time against Sligo, who were absolutely exceptional. One of the best blocks I've ever seen in championship football was Eddie McGuinness, full length, stopping a certain winner to make sure the game went to extra time. There was a big moment in this game a few minutes beforehand. Nathan Mullen was sent off, kind of looked innocuous enough actually live, but in the slow motion replay, so credit to the referee for calling it. Red. He caught Oisin Savage high across the face, and actually Oisin Savage's club, Loughlin Island, have sent a message out there on Facebook saying that Oisin is at home. He suffered a broken jaw, so he'll be undergoing surgery for that. Yeah, so he's 21 tomorrow. So we send our best wishes. Send our best wishes to Oisin Savage. And Paddy, you know how nasty, I think it was the same corner where you
wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy.
Yeah, so best wishes to Oisin, who's a quality footballer for Down, but they had a big extra time performance, and Sligo, who have made strides under Tony McEntee, just fallen short, but a really, really, really top quality game. If the FRC needed any more reason to get their changes through, I think Loud Cork would have been a good example for why we need changes, and maybe even the first half of Mayo and Derry, but then that Down Sligo game just illustrated the quality, the potential that's there when two teams go at it, when they go full throttle. So any more on the Tailteann Cup, we're going to have that final the Saturday of the All-Ireland semi-finals. That's going to be the curtain raiser on the Saturday.
It's a big break for them, isn't it? Three-week break. It's the biggest break of the season. Before the football.
It's massive. Yeah, huge. All right, you're listening to the Football Pod with thanks to AIB, proud sponsor of the Senior Football Championship. Check out hashtag the toughest for more. We'll be back right after this. We're finishing on some of the in-depth bits from Mayo Derry. Paddy was at the game. Myself and James were watching it. Back after this. Hello there, and you're very welcome back to the Football Pod with Paddy Andrews and James O'Donoghue. The Ryan O'Donoghue-Conor McCluskey battle, Paddy, you had a very good view of this. It was a cracking battle between the two of them. They kind of edged at different stages in the game. What did you make of it?
I thought, that was the obvious one. Dermot Baker was on, Tommy Conroy as well. And what was impressive with Derry was all of those individual stars of their team have been underperforming over the course of the championship. We've been spoken at length, we've done numerous pods on that. There was responsibility on each of them to kind of not be looking around at all the noise and distractions around the Derry team. That was kind of everyone else's fault, and, you know, we've seen or heard rumours about issues and Mickey Hart and Tyrone and the tactics and Aaron Lynch and goal and all this stuff. Fundamentally, their players were not performing anywhere near the levels they're capable of. And Conor McCluskey, Chrissy McCaig, McInnes, obviously at the incident against Galway, Shane McGuigan, that was the big thing. Sort of anything else, those players had to stand up. And it was a great challenge for them on Saturday night to go and do that. No more so than McCluskey going man-to-man with Mayo's best forward. I think Derry's defensive structure and Mayo's total lethargy in the first half helped Conor McCluskey get on top in that battle.
Okay.
And it wasn't just Ryan O'Donoghue who kind of worked his balls off for 90 minutes, as we know that the Mayo players will do, but the structure around him wasn't helped. We said Mayo have probably legacy issues around playing against set defences, and Conor McCluskey spoke to us after the match and I said, what really changed? What was your approach to this game that's been different from the last four matches you played, which have been complete fucking disasters? And it was like, back to basics. we built everything over the last 2 or 3 years against being a hard team to play against. Defensive solidity. We've seen that go out the window with this kamikaze stuff in the Ulster Championship and in the group stages. They went back to having really, really solid defence. Energy and attitude and aggression in the defensive system across the board, and that helped McCluskey. It wasn't like a month ago where it'd be one-on-one and there's no one in the fucking 45 for Derry and Ryan Dunne who's going to make hay. So the structure around the Derry defence helped shut down that Mayo attack, and Conor McCluskey came out on top in that battle, which was a massive credit to him and the defence. But you can't get away, lads. And I know there's Mayo fans raging about loads of different things, the injustices of the championship. They drew with Dublin. They essentially drew with Derry. They're out of the championship. And Roscommon, who they've hammered twice in the championship, are in the quarters. Derry, who've been wiped in 3 games, are in the quarterfinals. But that first half, for me, is the problem for Mayo. Derry are a wounded animal. There's loads of question marks over them. Mayo, bring your A game. Chaos, energy, fight. The crowd was mad for all to get involved. And they just stand off. They concede kickouts. They stand off the Derry attack and allow Derry just build confidence into the game. And it's like, if Mayo just go after them right from the start, that gives them the platform. And we did not see that. Second half, they come out and do that really well, yeah, and show the damage they could do. But
it was
one
too
point
late
from play in the first half.
It was too
points
late, Paddy. The edginess
nearly
had
wasn't too
come
late
around
I mean,
the stadium.
They had the game won as well in injury time. But in terms of their approach to the game, you would have felt Derry, all the question marks, even internally, the Derry players would have had. Mayo go after them. Mayo at their best is, despite McStay and all the different things he's trying to do over the last 10 years, Mayo at their best is just go, attack. What we've seen in the Dublin game the week before, and they never got to those levels. It allowed Derry into the game, as well as credit to Derry, those individual players. It was the best we've seen from all of them, individually and collectively from Derry, since the National League final, 11 weeks ago?
James, I mentioned that I was getting a little bit of grief on Twitter for one or two little things that I got wrong at the weekend. By God, was I thinking about you during that Mayo Derry game. You would have had to delete social media. You put your neck on the line in the build-up to it. So, first of all, before we get to... Yeah, I'll ask you first. What were you like watching that game?
I really enjoyed the game. Honestly, I thought it was pure nerve-wracking, jeopardy, do or die. First time I felt like that all year, to be honest, that it was like, this actually means something. This is everything on the line. And I suppose I didn't have a team I wanted to win, but I obviously had thought that there'd be a kick in Derry. But the thing about Mayo, right, is that there's one thing about how you perform and tactics and all that, but sometimes you just have a knack of getting over the line. And they've missed that knack this year. Because
three times
the Galway game in Connacht, where Gleeson gets the winner, they lose that in the last second. Dublin, they would have had a completely different season had they held out in that last play. And again, the last day, they left Glass have the shot in the last second, and then they work it back around to get McCaig on the end of an attack. But there's just that steeliness or something that if they had it in the last couple of seconds of those matches, they could be in such a different position. So I must say I felt sorry for them. And then once you go to penalties, you just don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, they found three different ways, and I know McStay referenced it, the last play of the game and the game management that we dissected last week's with Dublin and the epic score that Costello ended up with. But it was three different ways of losing the game in the last play of the game that they've had.
Yeah.
The free, the way they let Derry come down after missing their own chance, Sam Callanan fisting that point wide, and we talked
that
about
the
the importance of the quality. Yeah.
Hand passes ball wide. It's like,
and then the 70 seconds from the kick out that Dublin had. So, look, cruel, but.
But
like,
Derry have this.
We have.
Derry, then, on the other hand, I knew they were going to get a good shot off. Do you know, like, you just knew they were going to make the right decision. They didn't take any stupid shot. They worked it to the kicker. A glassy shot that hit the post was actually even maybe a tiny bit wide in terms of a banker shot. They probably would have liked the shot from more central, but knew they were going to get something off.
He's probably learned from, like, I think this is pre-James O'Donoghue on the Football Pod when Paddy and Andy were doing it in season one when Derry didn't get the shot off.
Yeah.
And Glass had the ball in his hands and he turned around instead of trying to take it on. So
it was well worked. It showed unbelievable character from Glass. He wasn't having his best game, but nearly just didn't accept. I'm going to force this. Fucking, I am going to pull something out of the bag here. The problem for Mayo's side is the rebound.
Yeah.
It breaks the Brendan Rodgers. You're thinking, whatever about Glass getting a shot off, when it's missed, you nearly, I would say, maybe off the back of the Galway game, where I thought it was 50-50, the free they do give away, they're maybe too passive with Brendan Rodgers. He's going away from the pass out to him on the ground, going away from goal. You're thinking, there's no way he should get that ball up and then turn and be able to pass it again.
Yeah.
And it's just the look. When you lose a game, because they reference this, when you lose a game or draw a game like that and the margins are so small, there are so many moments in that game where Mayo will look and go, if that literally, that tiny, that play is different, we'll win the game.
Yeah. Jordan Flynn. Jordan
Flynn. That free is one. Yeah. And then, yeah.
The free, the left-legged free. You need a left-legged free taker. It's so
I still think he should have got it. We were right okay. there. He didn't strike it well.
He didn't strike it well. But if you're going to win, if you're going to win, you need your free takers on the field in the big moments from both sides.
Can I ask a question on that?
I'd nearly be leaving on a left.
Who would have taken him? Who's their left footer? Aidan O'Shea's been taking him for a while.
He's not a reliable free taker. He's not a free taker. Realistically, he's not a shooter.
He nailed the one against Dublin the week beforehand, and if he had missed it, it would have felt like 3 points for Dublin. It was a big, big free in the second half. But can I just ask a question about that? Because Ryan Donoghue cramps the second he kicks it, and I think it might have an impact on his penalty later, which he didn't strike as well, right? So he cramps when he kicks that free. Killian O'Connor's on the field. Mm.
They nailed their colours to the mast of Ryan O'Donoghue.
I know, but in the moment,
I agree with you. I agree.
It's a left leg.
Ryan O'Donoghue's been their best player.
Of course he is.
I still think he should have got that.
Yeah.
Again, we're talking about margin at that level, as quality as he is. When it was given, I'm thinking he's going to nail that.
Can we just talk about the performance of, and we mentioned the big Derry players that stood up, who haven't had great years, but they stood up. But James Lachlan Murray, the points this fella kicked.
He's red hot in the first half. Red hot.
And the talk about Lachlan Murray has been that this boy is the real deal. And we've seen glimpses of it. But that was a real coming of age, grasping the opportunity performance from him at the weekend.
You could tell he wanted it and he was going to make it happen. Because some of the shots he took on were difficult shots and he hit him perfectly straight over the black spot. But you know what? The point that I actually liked the most was actually his fisted point from what he did in the build up. The way he took on, he actually took on the Mayo number 10.
I can't help you here. I was watching it live from a wedding and I've watched it back since, but I can't remember.
Tommy Conroy. He took on Tommy Conroy. He lined up Tommy Conroy, but you can tell, right, that he has the ability of ball carrying and taking men on. By how he hit Tommy Conroy into the chest to give himself the injection of pace to get around him. Do you know, like some fellas, when they're taking him on, they'll be so worried about their hopping their solo and they'll be protecting the ball and next thing they'll be shoved out over the line. He got it. He took his play and he belted him into the chest to push him off, but also propel him forward. You could just tell he's just brilliant at taking men on and he's an exceptional kicker. So I think he's...
It showed like know-how. It's like, square your man up. Oh shit, it's Tommy Conroy. Go at this guy.
Yeah, I'm definitely taking this fella on. Yeah,
you know, if it was Dave McBride or somebody, might turn around. It might not have been, but it's like, that just shows I'm in the moment. I'm going to kill this guy. This is a forward. I'm going at him. I thought...
That rootless streak is missing for him in a lot of players, isn't it? It's like...
He's cautiously come back around.
He goes for...
We've seen him in the league final, the probably taking on a couple of goal opportunities, which might have been on against Dublin, but that just shows this guy is a killer. And something like that for Derry, like this was a younger, inexperienced guy in terms of the makeup of their team, and he was standing up and he was going after it. And by the end of the game, like I say, by the end of extra time, it was the old guy. It was McGuigan, exceptional extra time, class. Rodgers with his points, getting back to being Brendan Rodgers, sprinting up the pitch, breaking lines, taking the game. Ethan Doherty. Derry just carrying. You could just see the confidence build and build and build. And that's what makes them dangerous going into this weekend. But it was so critical to getting over the line on Saturday night.
Don't forget Oran Lynch.
Oran Lynch, he's
that kick out. That kick out to McGuigan on extra time, the penalties, he had on lots of ball out the field, Like,
yeah, big, and he's taken big a lot character. Of criticism, as they all have. Yeah. All those players have, and that's what I admired about them.
I'm going to have to get togged out, lads, and kick a couple of spinners in Crow Park. So we're going to.
We have a big week, Tommy. What about the quarters? Okay. We haven't spoken about the quarters yet.
Yeah, we're going to do that in the members pod. We've got two pods every week now, so we're going to do that on Wednesday. Mention as well that it's an All-Ulster, All-Ireland minor final. Derry beating Kerry on Saturday, and an exceptional Armagh performance.
Strong.
Against Mayo. Very, very impressive. So, the very, very, very controversial James O'Donoghue power rankings took charge last week. So, this weekend, we've got 6th place Armagh against 10th place Roscommon. We've got 5th place Donegal against 11th place Louth. The controversial 2nd place Dublin against 4th place Galway. And even more controversial 1st place Kerry against even more controversial 3rd place Derry. Are we going to see any shocks this weekend? Before we get into it. Any shocks this weekend? Who's worrying you? I'm not asking for predictions, but early in the week, where do you think there's a bit of wriggle room, a bit of danger? I will give you a heads up that the bookies and the Stats and Solos model, they're on Twitter, they've been calling it all year long, have it that there's a 49% chance that one of Dublin or Kerry are going to be beaten this weekend.
What?
Yeah, that there's jeopardy, there's real jeopardy that one of those two are going to be beaten this weekend. I don't know how the models work. I've just seen it there. Stats and Solos, go check them out on Twitter. So there you go.
Jesus, I'd be surprised. I can't see... No, I can't. I can see Kerry winning. I just think that Derry will find it hard to get back up again to that intensity, but it will be a right brilliant game. That is going to be... Yeah, I can imagine the excitement now, even inside in the Kerry camp, like drawing Derry. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a huge game.
Like, that's the season starting.
It is. And we want to see Kerry come out and just their season to start. Because they didn't have a difficult group. They didn't have a Munster Championship. Like, Kerry have been just tipping away. We want to see Kerry explode now. Same with Dublin and Galway. Galway are kind of hanging in there with injuries and things. Dublin are going to be coming strong. I fancy Armagh and Donegal as well.
That's on the face of it. There's usually a shock. Like, it was the Rossies this weekend taking out Tyrone, which I definitely didn't see coming. Out of all of those games, I can see Dublin and Kerry winning. I expect them to win. I think Donegal will have too much for that Louth team. Maybe. Is it the question mark over Armagh's favourites? The Rossies get hot in Croker. If there's a shock, I will be leaning towards that one.
Okay.
For me. We'll chat more during the week.
We'll get stuck in on Wednesday. Paddy Andrews, James O'Donoghue, thank you as always. Paddy, before I get any emails in, what's the jersey?
This?
Yeah.
Norway.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
A classic, yeah. I like very it. Nice.
Odegaard on the back. Yeah. Is he in Norway, is he?
He is, yeah.
Norwegian. He is.
You've had some tasty clobber over the last few weeks. All right, James O'Donoghue, Paddy Andrews. As always, thank you. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in.
Night,
thanks, boys.
Good night.
Speak soon, boys.
Good luck in the game.
This country was built on a distinctly American work ethic. But today, work is in trouble. We've outsourced most of our manufacturing to other countries, sending away good jobs and diminishing our capability to make things. American Giant is pushing back against that tide. They make the kind of high-quality clothing staples you need for a comfortable, stylish, and active summer wardrobe. Like vintage-style tees, tough tank tops, breathable polos, lightweight sweatshirts, shorts, and so much more. All made right here in the USA, from growing the cotton to adding the final touches. So when you buy American Giant, you create jobs for seamsters, cutters, and factory workers in towns and cities across the United States. And it's about more than an income. Jobs bring pride, purpose. They stitch people together. Support America's workers and get 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with promo code STAPLE20. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code STAPLE20.